What's happening, man? It's your boy 911, and you tuned in to AVG Podcast, man. As always, man, you know how we do it. Let's get to it. So today, I got my dog with me, man, Ronnie T, man. What's good with you, man?
Man, I'm good.
What's been just going on, man?
Man, just on the grind, just looking at how this youth sports stuff is kind of unfolding. Just not liking the look that it's getting right now.
Man, look, you know, I was going to get to you. You know, we both got kids. We both heavily involved in the youth scene around here. Not so much as coaching. You know, I dabbled a little bit with it when I first moved out here. So I know about the culture of it here in Texas. And you from out here, man. So you know how it go down with youth sports, man. But, like, since you kind of brought it up, man, we all know about the tragedy. What U was that? Was that a 9U, 10U? What U was that game?
That was a 9U.
A 9U game. We know about the tragedy of the coach, and I know Ronnie, you know his name, right?
Yeah, Mike Higgins.
Mike Higgins. We know about that tragedy, man. And like, what were some of your feelings or some of your initial emotions, man, when you heard about that?
Honestly, just unnecessary. Two, when I heard the names associated with the incident, it wasn't a surprise. And when I'm seeing names, Aqib Talib, his brother was the shooter in the incident. And they've been known to have altercations at youth sports events. This wasn't the first situation. This just been the first situation where we had an assault with a weapon, or, you know, where it turned to a tragedy.
Yeah.
So that wasn't too surprising, just because I knew the history, because I've been around it for a while with that name association.
Gotcha. And man, for people don't know, man, that coach, the one that tragically lost his life, man, he had been a staple in the youth community with football around here for years. Matter of fact, just, you know, small world, my son's head coach actually started coaching with him when he initially started his coaching journey. So, you know, we kind of talked about it at practice, man, and just, you know, how you have to draw the line at some point when competition becomes that vile. Like, it's still a youth football game. 9-10-year-old kids, a man's family out there. Nobody's out there going to the league tomorrow. Why do you feel so much emotions around? And I know football, like I was telling my wife, we were talking about it. Football is a gladiator sport. Even at that young of an age, man, you have different adrenaline pumping in you than when you go see a baseball game or go see a basketball game. People out there running into each other full speed, hitting. My baby getting hit. His mama. So, you know, adrenaline is high. But what do you think fuels? And it's just like, and I can't put it to another community because I hadn't gone to any of their games like that. But I haven't heard anything. And I see these type of flares, like you say, not to this extent, all the time around America and our community. What do you think fuels this type of action at our games?
Well, I feel like it's just not being able to communicate. That's one thing that we know within the black community. We have an issue communicating with each other in general.
Thanks.
On top of that, just motive, man. Like, what are your expectations for your kid? Or is this really about your kid, or is it about you? Is it, I didn't accomplish these things, or I did accomplish certain things within sports? Just recognize that, man, this is about your kid. It's not about yourself. And I feel like what a lot of people don't realize is the underlying issues that some people may have prior to the games even having, because you got a lot of people that have groups on Facebook that's talking noise within the group.
Man,
And that takes away from what it's supposed to be about, which is mentorship. We got away from what that's about. It's supposed to be to build young men and young women.
Good point.
To be leaders.
Good point. Great point.
And so now we got a situation where it's just so much, it's money driven.
Man.
And, you know, and I think that's one of the rumors. That's one of the things that's starting to be cleared up, that there was supposed to be a bet on that game. And now, knowing that, I can see how it shouldn't have happened still, but I can see how that can fuel the fire as well, because everybody is different about money. Mm-hmm. And if they had money on the line, which it was said that there was money involved, I mean, I've seen it. I've seen it where referees have been involved because they may know personally one of the coaches or the organizations and may have money involved with it too.
Hey, you getting to the root of it now, man, because like what you're shedding light on, like a lot of people don't want to talk about this, like this underground gambling with like our youth sports, especially football, but it is heavy. And I've heard about like Big Bread around here and some of the esports leagues, Florida, Georgia, all the states that put out them real dogs and they had these competitive teams. A lot of stuff you're saying, people might think it's taboo, but it's kind of like that underlying thing, kind of like what happened with Vic. It's a, with that highlighted dog fighting, it's a whole, it's an underground subculture with this football, with youth sports, that we got to get out the game, because it's causing, like you say, the adults in the situation are no longer mentors. They're vultures. Exactly. They're preying on talent around cities, getting the best of the best. So instead of mentoring, you're teaching them a part of the game that they should learn to get that type of dog and that type of fight in them until they somewhere down the line, professional level, if you blessed to go there. This should be fun. You know what I'm saying? Of course you want to compete. Of course you want to win. You know, we talk about sports all the time. We two guys that love competition, man. And you, like I said, you grew up in Texas playing this type of ball. So we're not saying the competitive nature can't be there, but this underlying culture you're highlighting, man, it's a lot need to be light need to be shed on a lot what you're talking about right now.
Yeah, and a lot of people have these organizations and they're nonprofit organizations. So you're having parents and people pay for fees, sometimes outrageous prices for the college team or select team. And I think it takes away from coaches' coaching ability, because you got teams loaded with talent and you don't have leadership involved to manage that talent or manage the parents.
Yes.
Because it's usually the parents that have the issues, either with their kid not getting enough playing time, or my kid not playing the position.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, the kids only know and only do what they're taught.
Yeah.
And so I think it's one of those, like we said, but the black community don't never stand up, or we never say it's an issue until we lose somebody.
Exactly.
But sure, this is something that should have been addressed, and that's why you have people that want to play for rec teams that just would rather have their kid playing a rec game. And when I say rec, meaning recreational team, where I mean, they know they're going to play every weekend. They know what kind of environment their kids want to be in. But I think it's a lot of coaches, you know, and I can't speak for every coach, but it's a lot of coaches too, man, that they don't really want to be mentors.
Mm.
They're just, it's like the club, man. It's like bringing a club atmosphere to a kid environment.
Gotcha.
You got, you know, parents, women out there that's out there in skimpy type outfits, wanting attention.
Tell them what the atmosphere like, man.
You know, it's no class, man. It's no class. And like you said, they've totally taken youth sports and turned it into an atmosphere that's everything but for the kids.
You sure right. Cause I'm talking about, like you say, you go to some fields out here, man, they got live DJs, and you know, our culture, we bring that, you know, we do everything with a little flavor, but like you say, some of the parents with the way, you know, dads are out there talking, it ain't just women, the way dads out there talking is every other word is nigga around these little impressionable minds or curse words, and then you got, like you say, the women wearing next to nothing, and shit, they out there, you know, doing what they think, so you just got a mix of that we already impressing young minds of what's next for them, or what grown up look like. We're not putting that gap, like I know you, me and you, we're close in age, man, but it was a separation when we were coming up between grown folk and kids. I think that line is blurred now, man, where it's not a big enough separation or respect gap. What you feel about that?
I totally agree. I think it's also too, the kind of parents that we have now. Like, we have parents that want to do the exact opposite. Oh, I didn't like the way my parent raised me, so I'm going to raise my kid totally different.
Okay, uh-huh.
And, I think that's cool for everybody to have their own parenting style, but you gotta have some common sense involved, which we realize now common sense not that common.
Man, thanks.
You got to have a balance, old school and new school way to raise your kid, because this generation, it's hard to tell somebody young that started ahead of the game, especially a teenager, someone that's making money, or someone that's maybe making more money than you.
Mm-hmm.
How can you? They don't respond. They respond to what they see, not what they hear. And that's the difference with this generation. They want to see.
They gotta see it.
Yeah, they want to see it. It's not do as I say. It's they want to see action behind it. And unfortunately, man, even with the type of music, nobody knows what their definition of real is different. And everybody respect the bag, you know what I mean? But they don't respect how the bag is being obtained.
Man, for real. And look, I'm a pitch something at you since you said, about the kids and they want to see it. You know, this is a see, the see it era. This is the, you know, this ain't no... You can parent and say one thing, you're doing something else. So I'm going to tell you my theory about where the lines actually got all the way blurred.
Okay.
To me, now, I just want you to hear me out and you tell me what you think. Now, like I say, back in the day, the line between the young people, like we even at our age, when we were like teenagers or younger than that, like we seen the grown folks do something, but it was more confined. Or, you know, you might peep in and see it, but you had to go to another room. Or, you know, you might hear them out there in the yard, your daddy and, you know, your uncles or something or his partners running in talking, you know, talking slick. But it's out there and, you know, unless you sneaking and listening, you're not just invited to the conversation. To me, what I see now with the influx of social media, that line was destroyed. Because now they see our fun. They see what we do. We making the same TikToks they doing. We jamming the same music they doing. You on the pictures making the same poses your daughter making. Your son throwing up the same sense you throw. So it's like, is that line was shattered and social media made it no better. How can you parent and tell me to do something when you on social media playing with guns? Got blunts in your mouth. We're doing the same stuff. So what makes you grown? And I feel like I can measure arms with you because I'm doing what you're doing. I got guns. I got blunts. I got more money I can show on a picture than you got in your bank account. You know what I'm saying? So like you say, what you just said, that just made me think of it. But I want to think about like, what do you think your about my theory about social media's effect on parenting?
I think it's funny you said that. I think that social media has just completely destroyed. It's raising our kids, point blank period, because we didn't grow up with social media. And that's the weird thing about the situation is that's why some of us are able to disconnect from social media. We know how to get on social media and get off.
Mm-hmm.
This generation grew up right in the middle of
living it.
That's all they know.
Yeah.
And with them knowing that this is all they know, you got parents that they think that just because I'm sitting in the household mean that I'm raising my child. But when in actuality, it's social media, it's YouTube and all these other influences that use these algorithms that's turning the youth against the elders.
Man, that's fact.
And that happens with every generation because even with our generation, it was more of video game. We was a video game culture.
Yeah.
Video games were heavy more than social media.
Yeah.
And that was the divide. And it's one of those things, man, you can look like you're not being a fun parent, but it's necessary to monitor and control how much content and what type of content your kids are receiving, because it's going to shape their reality. And their reality, once they get from up under your safety net, is going to be a complete shock to them. And some get stuck where they can't function. They don't even know where to begin to function, because it looks like everything that you've tried to teach them looks like a lie. And then that builds resentment.
Facts. Makes you look like a hypocrite.
Exactly. And they not mentally prepared for anything that's coming down. We're not ready collectively as a people. And that's all races. That's not just the Black community. That's all races.
Facts.
But discipline at the end of the day is what separates a lot of us too. But too, uncovering these agendas, all these different things that we can't even imagine that keeps us stuck, that we don't have any control of, that's just the way, and that's the agenda that America has been shaped, and now they're just blunt with showing us their power, basically, that we go either get down or we go lay down.
For real. Conform or get left behind. Or get eradicated.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And I'm going to tell you one of the biggest, like, it ain't a hidden agenda, but one of the biggest agendas that I wish we break. And like you say, a lot of communities got stuff to, you know, work on and what they can't fix. But, you know, we Black. So that's what I focus on, is our hatred with Black men towards each other. The way we look at each other and interact with one another, man. It's like, why when you see me coming, you gotta tighten up your face, you gotta let me know, you know, you side, you a man, like, but you see another culture of a guy woke up, you smile, you gently let your guards down, immediately let your guards down. What do we need to do to bring, because that's like, that ain't just youngsters, that's us, that's older generation. Now you have some of the guys like my father and them age, and they wake up, you know, walk up older Black guys, especially in the South, they gonna speak, hey, how you doing, how you, where did that stop? Like, where did we become public enemy number one to each other?
Man, wanting to be cool. Not understanding that some of the examples that y'all looking at, looking for a strong Black figure is everything that you shouldn't be.
Man.
And not having somebody there to explain it. Like, I had a situation with my son, which is 10. When his little teammates walked up to him, try to dap him up. When he was having a bad day, whatever the case may be, he kind of just brushed him off, didn't dap him up. And I immediately called him over there to the car and told him he better go correct and fix it. Because he's never seen me do that to anybody.
Man.
And I have raised him like that. But
man,
just in that instance, if I hadn't corrected their behavior, then that's something that's going to continue to happen. And guess what? That's something that goes into his teenage years and then adulthood.
Man.
And once you that one person that you come across, you do that to, or they do it to you, and you just the slightest bit of disrespect, now you're in a situation, if your mind is not developed, if you don't understand what comes along with disrespect, that's where a lot of people that's in the penitentiary, the dead, pride gets involved, and that's what's gotten a lot of people killed and a lot of people put away in the prison system because of pride. That one thing right there.
And man, let these people know you know what you talk about, man. You ain't just tell them where you from out here in Dallas, man.
Man, I'm from Highland Hills and Oak Cliff. So I learned in an early age respecting others and understanding what lane you're in, that you should be in. Hey, I understood early that selling drugs, using drugs, that wasn't the lifestyle for me, because I saw a lot of my homeboys, older brothers, out on the street and then just gone. like
For
man,
real.
they were in school and we didn't see them anymore. They were in the penitentiary.
Out of there. Like, that's what kids don't understand. Like, these people will make you disappear. Whether they're penitentiary or they, you know, you're so far in their life that you put yourself in a predicament where you disappear. But like they say, that short message, and I want people to understand why the black dad is so important. Just the type of father you are, and somebody might say, oh, that was small. Like, he might have just not been feeling it. Nah, that's a form of disrespect. If somebody extend their hand to you, and see, some people don't understand when people talk, like, when people, real men, say, nah, this men talking, let men hash that out. It's certain rules that's unwritten that you can't teach if you're not a man, or you don't, or you never been in that position, or you never know how that make a man feel, because it's certain things you don't make a man feel small with. Like you say, that's minute right now because they're kids, and he probably laughed it off like, oh, you know, he wasn't tripping. But you corrected that, because like I tell my son, hey, when a man enter the room, if he come in and speak to you, stand up, shake his hand, firm grip, look in his eye. It's certain rules that's unwritten that you just need to know, and need to know how to carry yourself as a man, that'll take you a lot further than what you say. Like, if you to let some stuff like that slide and you don't correct, I do the same thing with my son. And I just wanted to stop and applaud you on that, man, because those are the type of stuff when you talk about fathers in the home and what's the difference. Those type of stuff are the difference. Those type of things are the difference. It's stuff like that that gets missed when you don't have two sons. I'm not saying moms aren't important. They're the fruit of the earth. Like, without y'all, it's nothing. But I think the black father, especially, has been so diminished that sometimes we need to highlight and say that, like, it's good men out here that's raising kids doing the right thing that don't get highlighted enough, because we like to push forward, like you say, these agendas that make it look like it's all in reverse, when in fact it's not.
Exactly. And you know, like, you know, the I think the important part too is, what's the solution? How can we change, or how can we get our kids and our community back? And that come from like-minded individuals such as myself and you, getting these little get-togethers for us. Let's say a few men, like-minded men, them and their son, let's do a little barbecue or a little breakfast or some kind of social event.
Thanks. So let them see what good men look like.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? They got to...
What they walk like, how they carry themselves.
Exactly. Even situations where we do a mentorship program where, hey, it's something I know that you know. And that'll benefit my kid.
Yeah.
And it'll benefit your kid, because it's something that I might know that you don't
that
know.
I don't know. Exactly. Each one teach one.
Exactly. And I think we gotta find guys that's willing to volunteer time to where we can teach our kids something other than catching a football or shooting a basketball. Just getting skills that can help them later on in life. Because we're seeing every day that it's not no black and white. It's not no black and white anymore. Mm-mm. It's the haves and the have nots, point blank, period.
Exactly.
It don't matter what color you are.
Yep.
Everybody gonna get left behind if we don't come together and start rebuilding our communities. And it started as simple as going to the city council meetings. Finding out when they have them, because they expect for us not to come.
Not to come. Sure, right.
Because they make all the decisions, they don't get any pushback. And then we look up, we get a letter in the mail, or we done saw our property tax get raised. Mm-hmm. There's so many different issues. And we're too busy comparing. And that's what social media does. It makes us compare.
Facts.
Our lives, and then that sets in envy and jealousy, and that's why we're quick to hurt each other and not the real people that's hurting us.
That's facts. That's facts. And that's another thing I hate about, you know, with, like, you know, to say the younger generation growing up in that era, if you don't learn to teach them how to detach themselves from that virtual world becomes their reality. And so now them likes, that's their adrenaline. That bad comment, that's worse than a family member that's knowing them telling them something. So you letting that imagery form their mind when they don't know. Like I tell my son all the time. He said, "Hey, Daddy, such and such like this on a video you posted got this." I'm like, "The internet is not real. Don't even worry about that." You know what I'm saying? Because there's people that sheep follow, that sheep like stuff. If a bunch of people like it, some people, a bunch of other people might like it just because. Like, the world has such a sheep mentality. When, you know, when we were growing up, we always say, "Man, I want to do my own thing." You want to be like, "Nah, not everybody got the same BBL. Everybody got the same, you know, swag and stuff." Yeah. So it's like that virtual world, when they talk about the metaverse, people don't understand how close the real world is becoming the metaverse.
Exactly. You're right. It's just, man, you just have, it's a kiss of 2020, you know, because you say so much about the United States. I don't like where I'm at, or I don't like what they're doing, but there are other places out there that's way worse.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's like, hey, you can't, you know, everybody quick to say, "Oh, well, I'm a jump ship, I'm gonna go do this, I do that," until you get over there and you realize, "Oh, this ain't what I thought it was."
And people don't know that really running from America don't help us, because, like, we are the last on the totem pole no matter what corner of the world you go to.
Exactly. And Ukraine, people should be able to look and see that. You're looking at Brittany Griner and her situation.
Across the globe.
That's a prime example.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think people need to wake up. And I'm gonna tell you, man, it's love, man. Like, it's so many people out here that don't know what it's about. They haven't experienced. They didn't get love at the house.
Man, and, that's key.
You know, and that's what's going on, man. You don't have it, and that's where key. Guys, women, sometimes they will come together. Depending on the women, they will come together, even if they have a common enemy.
Yeah.
With guys, sometimes we just do not trust other men. And in some situations, I can understand that, but it's time to we gotta have some kind of platform or something to rebuild the black man, because we getting torn down every day, all day.
And like you said, man, like, you know, man, me and you done chopped it up way before this podcast. You know how we think. You know, I'm always been a solution-based cat. So what you are saying, I like where you're going with that, because unless we stop and try to stop this now, like, it is no hope for us, because it's at the point now where we're at war with each other. Like, they don't need to do nothing else. People can sit back now and shit, just eat popcorn. Like, we look at each other like we can't stand each other, and we don't even know each other. But like you say, we need more platforms, though. That's where the change need to come. We need more of those, like, get-togethers. Like, hey, bring your son. Like, let him meet my son. So, hey, you might not live on this side of town. Somewhere down the line, you know, Dallas small, man. You moving around. Boom, I know that face. You know what I'm saying? That's not an enemy. I know that cat, man. Me and him, we used to go to barbecues together when we was young. You know what I'm saying? So you build those type of relationships, because what breeds that fear and that shell is the unknown. You know what I'm saying? It's like a self-defense tactic. But the more you're familiar with something, that's just like when you, like, you know, you said we from hoods. So we know how we move around the hood. You know, you don't know a cat, your face tighten up. But you know, you in an office or somewhere you go in every day, you don't walk in there frowned up. You know what I'm saying? Your guard's down. And that's how we need to be with each other. We need to figure out a way to get more platforms, interact around each other more, so our guards can be down. Because right now, we so guarded with each other. Like you said, we can't even get that love from each other that we need. Because we going through the same stuff, man. I get followed in the store just like you. I get pulled over for dumb shit just like you. But I got to worry about you too on top of all this?
Exactly. And it's like, what's crazy is that the sad part is we've been programmed to believe that we'll be harmed. We're more likely to be harmed by someone that look like us than someone that don't.
That's facts.
And that's why I'm like, well, hey, you know, people got to wake up. And I think for the most part, a lot of people have been awakened to understand that racism only exists when you have people that's willing to participate in it. because those older people that were keeping those
traditions,
traditions of hatred, a lot of them people not around anymore. They dead and gone.
Yep.
And the new generation are not really on it. It's just the older families, the influencers, the people that they know that's been in control are the ones that still controlling the media to make it seem like it's really that way. But we gonna have a bigger problem with technology, because technology is gonna make people in general obsolete.
Facts.
And that's what it's gonna take, what they call a alien encounter, for which would be artificial intelligence, would be what would have to bring us together. Like when you start looking at movies like Terminator and all these different movies, it's like, man, you gotta pay attention that we not that far gone from that.
We not.
You know what I'm saying?
For real.
And so it's like, well, hey, you know,
or that Ready Player One. You check that out?
I'm sorry, what was it? What was that?
Ready Player One. You seen that movie?
Yeah.
How far are we off from this stuff, man?
We not. That's all they promoting is virtual reality. Total Recall. You got all these different movies that you can go back and reference and see all this different stuff. that, you know, this stuff don't. They just they always 10 steps ahead, point blank period.
Exactly.
They 10 steps ahead, but we got so many different media outlets, private media, and different things that you can use now to get this information. But it is information too for enlightened people that can't hear and hear. I don't want to bring religion into it, because I know everybody believes in something else, but I think most people do know it's a higher power. Thanks. And there's certain things that you're able to tap into when you get certain information. You got to take heed to it.
Facts.
And be able to recognize it. So,
and like I tell people with those movies, all those movies are due, because if this is thought up, and I know R. Kelly probably a bad person to reference right now, but I'm only talking about his words in the song.
Yeah,
if you can see it, you can be it. If you can think, like, that is true. If somebody has thought of this and their brain has put this concept together, all these movies do for us, for the common folk, is take the shock value off. So by the time you see it, you know them to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all
it
do.
What it is. We're desensitized.
Exactly.
And the youth, I'm gonna be honest, man, and it's to the point where people are just the leaders, man. They don't want to step up and speak because they're afraid to speak. Because this generation is probably one of the they scare America too, and that's why they're trying to keep us programmed.
Yep.
Because they know they can't control.
Yeah, this new generation also, like you say. Yeah, now, see, the internet bad and good. See, they on that internet all the time. So they're getting a bunch of information downloading to their brain at all angles, at all times. So they like little superhumans, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Sometimes they you know, like you said, take an enlightened person know how to process that information. So sometimes it shoots back out into the world as something you don't need, but sometimes, like, they're sparking the brains of a lot of young, intelligent minds that's knowing how to get in that world and get in that tech world and make it do what it do.
Exactly. Yep. And I think that's what we got to start pushing to our kids too, is there's different ways to make money, there's different ways to be successful. But at the end of the day, what legacy are you trying to leave behind?
Major.
And that's something that we have to get back to the basics. Everybody want to go viral, but you don't have to go to viral to make a difference.
Man, for real.
And that seems like that's just the agenda now. And that's why we get the content we get, where you're asking yourself, what was they thinking? People would rather go viral, they just want to be known for something, even if it's something negative.
Hey, man, look, since you said that, and I know we're going to wrap up in a few, man, but since you said that, I want to highlight that cat, Charleston White, because watch where I'm going with this. This dude, people better be careful how they playing with him. He is playing the biggest reverse psychology trick I have ever seen. And when I first heard him, and my kin folks and them used to shoot him to me and be like, man, I don't want to hit this dude. You know how I think, man. I'm like, man, this shit he's saying is wild. Like, I don't want no, quit sending me that. Man, I caught one of his messages where he was speaking, and that boy broke down why he was doing it. This boy has used the culture. This is what y'all want to see. Every video he make like that, viral. When it's this person, viral. Yeah. When this boy breaks down what he really means when he say that, he said, I'm talking about their image, what they portrayed. I'm not actually talking about them. I know these people, and I'm telling you, like, what he does in the community out here, as far as the, he's doing more in the community than a million of his messages giving him hate. Man, ain't none of them people getting off their couch and doing, when I really studied what this man was about, be careful playing with this dude, man. This dude, mind is way sharper than people giving him credit for. That dude right there, he impressed me with some of the, do we say some outlandish stuff? Yes. Would I say some of that shit? No. But when I see, when I heard why he said it and why, this dude is playing one of the biggest reverse psychologists on and showing people how much negativity gets highlighted when it's done and how people attract and gravitate to that versus a real message. And he baiting y'all. He bet that dude baiting y'all, man.
Yeah, and they falling for it.
And they falling for it.
Yeah, I think too, it's just uncovering. Man, it's just so many places we can go. But it's, we're seeing everything be uncovered and unfolded, all the way from Young Thug and Gunna and them and their situation, all this Rico case stuff that's popping up all of a sudden.
Yeah.
It's starting to be like, it's right there for people to wake up and see that, man, you gotta educate yourself and be cool being who you are, not trying to follow somebody that's lying to you, because these people are lying to you. These people are not living the lives that they saying they're living, and if they are, you're seeing the consequences behind it now on full display.
And if you make it to a point where you can separate yourself from that, but that's what you choose to do, you're dumb. You hustle to make it out of that atmosphere, to get your kids out of that type of environment, to not go to bed and have to worry about a phone with messages in it. You got a body here, you did X, Y, and Z there, drop off this package there. Why? You know what I'm saying? This is what you hustle to get past, and you go backwards. Like, there's some of that shit I'm totally lost on.
Man, I think it's just some people know, and the one of the main people I do respect with this rap culture is Kevin Gates, because I feel like he's speaking in truth. You know what I'm saying? He's
Gates a dog.
Breaking himself down all the way. He's showing every side of himself, and we seeing people like this living their truth. And he spoke on, you know, men glorifying killing people in these rap lyrics. Some people ain't never killed nobody. And he said, man, well, I done seen it with my own eyes. I've done it. And I didn't get any enjoyment from that.
Man.
And I like I said, games like Grand Theft Auto, Call of Duty, yeah, they fun, but they're giving you free will to do stuff, and these kids don't know how to process that when they go out here and they do it in real life. It ain't no another life. You done used your only life.
That's it. And let me tell you something else too on that, Ronnie. Like you say, like Gates, that boy Gates say, man, a lot of them boys ain't really did it, but see, what they don't know is these kids look up, like these rap artists and entertainers, these kids look at them as gods, because, you know, money equate knowledge to kids or what they want to be. So they looking at you like, if you're doing it, so what you lying about? Oh, they finna be for real about it. So what you're doing, you're not doing it, but you creating a street full of monsters.
Yeah, and something that I saw that gave me a whole different perspective, man. You know, we just think because we try to do some kind of good, that we're buying our ticket into heaven, if you believe in a heaven and a hell.
Yeah.
But you think about all these people that's sending these messages out in these industries that's corrupting all these different souls.
Man.
They have a big price to pay.
Man.
Because they're influencing thousands and millions of people to do things that go against
anything holy.
Exactly.
For real.
And so I think people need to wake up, and it's just so much that you can use to try to educate people. Even with how you greeting people, people don't understand that you're the power of your tongue. The Bible speaks of all of this. You have the power to speak blessings into a person's life, and you have power to curse people's lives, including your own.
Man.
And you have to know, and that's the biggest the most important thing we can teach within our community, period, is how to communicate with each other, because you can take a super negative person, mm-hmm. and if you come with positivity, it's going to be hard for that person to continue to be negative.
Man. That's facts.
We have to develop a maturity to get this across to our youth and to our adults that don't know any better.
That's facts. Because
we're just continuing. It's a continuous cycle. And we're a lot more blessed than what we think we are. And just put it like that. We complain, but we get the choice. We get to choose what we eat on a daily basis.
Man.
We get to do a lot of things that people don't even get that opportunity.
Man, Ryan, look, I'm going to leave it there, man. You wrapped it up with so much good stuff, because I got to bring you back, because there's so much meat that we got to get off the bone, man, and that really get into something. Like I say, man, I'm going to just bring you back. We're going to run it, chop it up, bring up some more topics. You know, talk about what we can do to further a positive agenda. We get so much negative feed. We're going to do some more talking about pushing a positive agenda and get that out there. And the ones that need to catch it, they're going to catch it, man. But let people know, like, how they can keep up with you, man. This dude's a good dude, man. Solid. You know what I'm saying? In the short time I've known him, man, he became, you know, a real solid person that I just, you know, bounce ideas off of when we talk. You know, we rap and ran it at work. So, man, let them know how they can keep up with you.
Most people can just follow me on Instagram at dogpound214. That's my IG handle, and that's the best way to get in contact with me, to see some of my content as far as clothing and apparel and things like that. So just holler at me.
Man, that boy Dog with them shirts too, man. Look, y'all already know, man, as always, man, always visualize your goals, and after that, accomplish those visualized goals. Appreciate y'all listening, man. 9/11, gone.